This is the Max Kellerman Show. Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio.
The Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. 888-SAY-ESPN 729-3776. The Max Kellerman Show is presented by Progressive Insurance. Guests, join me on the Goodyear Hotline.
It is a stunner in South Philly.
Doc, do you think Ben Simmons can still be a point guard for a championship team like the one you guys want to become?
So I don't know the answer to that.
The answer is hell no. You see what Ben Simmons, he didn't want to dunk the ball. He gives it up because he doesn't want to go to the free throw line. Magic Johnson was right. He was on First Take today saying Game 5 ruined Simmons. Simmons already had a problem between the ears. If you go look at like video from Summer League from a couple of years ago, he was shooting it left and right, taking mid-range shots. He refuses to shoot the ball. Then Simmons needs to go to a place where someone can get to between his ears. That's where this problem is. I brought it up to the scene. It's like psychotic. He doesn't just have an issue. It's like a psychosis. He refuses. Everyone tells him what he needs to do. He will not do it. Won't shoot the ball. No, yeah, Simmons was awful, and Simmons got to go. They took care of him in Philly. The Philly fans get a deservedly tough rap, right? They can ride a guy they don't like, but they were. Remember what they did with Markelle Fultz? Before Fultz was traded, he was the number one overall pick. He was anxiety about shooting and stuff and couldn't hit shots. The fans got behind him. He hit a free throw, they would go nuts. Like, come on, we're pumping you up. They were doing the same thing with Ben Simmons. Not anymore. That equity, whatever it was is spent. And Simmons, at his size, all-time great handles, court vision, passing ability, defense, can do everything but shoot. He won't even attempt a shot, let alone hit any. I can give you all the stats, lowest free throw percentage ever in a playoff series for a guy who takes a lot of free throws, et cetera, et cetera. He was awful. If you saw the game, you knew it. Now, he was so bad, Doc Rivers is flying under the radar a little bit. Doc Rivers was outcoached, period. Like, this is a recurring theme for him in the playoffs. I know he's got a championship. Hey, Doc, can you win a championship? Oh, I've already won a championship. You had a big three in a league that didn't have a big three. You had Paul Pierce, Ray Allen, and Kevin Garnett all still close enough to their primes. Three very different kinds of players who fit together very well. And Doc deserves credit for being a strong personality who could keep that all together. It's not like I'm taking credit away. Fact is, any coach who had those three players in a league without a big three to oppose them would be expected to win a championship. And he won a championship. Now, Doc also, he can believe in his guys, right? Okay, that here and there, that can work out for a guy like Shake Milton in the previous series, or was that the Atlanta series, where Shake had a big game. Oh, look at that. I was saying he's unplayable. Shake had a big game. But is that worth the trade-off where Doc is playing a rotation 10 deep in a game 7? Dwight Howard is unplayable. You play him in a game 7? And I know they missed Danny Green, but my God. Seth Curry's getting cooked by Herder, and that's where they missed Danny Green. I get it. Gallinari's cooking George Hill. He shouldn't have seen the floor, by the way. Ben Simmons is broken. We know that. What's Doc supposed to do? Maybe yank him. Tobias Harris was terrible, by the way, when they needed him. And by the way, you see Ty Lue, all the adjustments he makes. That's why his teams keep coming back down 3-1 and stuff like that. With Doc, it's the opposite. The adjustments aren't made, and his teams keep collapsing. And he has a sterling reputation for ATOs, right? But, you know, how, like, they could barely inbounds the ball. He would call a play. They barely inbounds the ball. What did I say? ATOs, OTAs. I said, I'm turning into Raj. I'm dyslexic. I know, ATOs. I may have done that earlier, too.
Put me up.
You know, like I.
No, that's the first time I heard it, but I was stopping and I'm like, what is the ATO? I'm thinking of all the words that it could be. I thought you had something new for us, man. Okay.
No, what am I saying? It's out of timeouts. T.O., yeah. After timeout. A.T.O., I was right. No, I'm sorry. I'm right the first time. OTAs or something else, Raj.
Yes.
Dude, this happens to me, like, talking about the Jazz and the Nuggets, you know, like last year, I remember. I'm getting the players on the teams confused. I'm remembering plays, but the guy's on the wrong team. I don't know. It's a wiring problem. I once called a Joe Calzaghe fight. He was a super middleweight champ. And, you know, leading up to the fight, you're watching all this film of him. And it was fights that I'd actually seen when it happened. And he knocked the guy down. And I remembered that he got knocked down. And I'm interviewing him saying, Joe, you have risen from a knockdown before. And da-da-da-da. And after the interview, I said, wait a minute. When the cameras are off. Joe, wait a minute. You knocked him down. He's like, yeah, I didn't know what the hell you were talking about. Well, there you go. At any rate, his out-of-timeouts, after-timeouts, have been lauded because they've been excellent in the past. But the fact is, he was drawing up plays, and the team was like, this is on the coach. If the team can't get the ball hardly in bounds, what does that say? I mean, by the way, even decision-making from a guy like Thybulle, and I know it's like putting a lot on Doc, Sixers are up 4. Thybulle has a clean line to the basket, right? Should have been Sixers up 6. Instead, he takes an ill-advised 3. He, of course, misses. You know, they go the other way, get a bucket. It's a 5-point swing, that decision. No. It wasn't a mid-range. I said it was a 3. They hit a 3. Atlanta hit a 3. I'm trying to remember who hit it. But it was a 5-point swing. Take the 2. And then get your defense set. Instead, here's a quick bad idea 3, and they go the other way. It's a 5-point swing that killed them. I felt like maybe, like, people talk about Simmons not dunking, and Embiid talked about Simmons not dunking the ball because he didn't want to get fouled. Maybe have to go to the free throw line, I guess. But I thought the Thybulle play was equally as kind of like an equal kind of turning point in that game. Now on the Goodyear Hotline, a friend of the show. Meta World Peace, former NBA champ. Meta, like, Ben Simmons was terrible. We'll start with him. We got to also get to Doc Rivers. I mean, can Simmons even... He's got to get out of Philly, right? Like, they got to move him now, right, Meta?
I wouldn't move Simmons if I was anybody. If you're smart, I wouldn't move Simmons. You got to think about it. Simmons is going to be 25 next year. Right now, he's 24. He had a horrible playoffs. We know that. But a lot of people have. The thing with Simmons is they were the number one team in the East. Now, granted, if the Nets were healthy, they would not have been number one. They'd be number two. So that's something to build on. I don't think you panic and get rid of Simmons. But you definitely you take him in the room and chew his ass out for sure. Take him in the room and chew his ass out for sure. And then you build him back up. But you got to break his ass down.
You talk about language. I agree. If there was a dude, like, if you could trade him to a team with Kobe Bryant on it, right? Something like that. Hey, get me the ball, and you're coming to the gym with me at 5 in the morning, even when you think you have plans or you went out the night before. Like, that's great. But he's gotta be in a place with a teammate or a coach who can get between his ears. Meta, it's psychotic. Shoot the ball, Ben. Summer League a couple years ago, he's taking shots. He refuses to shoot. Shaq said on TV he would knock him out if he was his teammate.
I know. I did hear that when Shaq said that on TV. I just look at it from a different perspective. You know, because when you're coaching, you run across so many different personalities. You see what I'm saying? So Ben is one of those personalities. Yeah, you got to shoot the ball. And listen, Ben, it's going to be uncomfortable. You might even get fouled, and you might go to the free throw line. But guess what? It's going to build character for you. You see what I'm saying? Like, he needs to take risk, and he needs to be supported the whole way through. I would never get rid of him because he's a superstar. He had a really bad series. Who didn't? You know? He had a really bad series because he's a superstar. And I think he has a lot of upside. He can only go up from here.
All right. Now, listen. This is one of the reasons I love talking. Yeah, go ahead, Embiid.
Yeah. No, I say if I was Embiid, I'd be pissed. I was a very intense player, and Chuck Person used to tell me all the time, everybody can't be as intense as you. Everybody don't work hard as you. So stop holding everybody accountable. I get it. But if I was Embiid, I'd be pissed. But if I, you know, if I'm the Sixers, I'm saying, I mean, this kid's a superstar, and I think he'd be a champion, but he played very, very bad, for sure.
See, this is meta. This is why Meta World Peace is so interesting. Sorry, Meta Stanford Artest. I mean, this dude changes names every 2 weeks. I can't keep up. Meta Stanford Artest. This is why I love talking to you. You think different. Everyone is talking about he's got to leave Philly. That's how I felt. Can't be fixed in Philly. You're like, no. And it makes some sense. Don't trade him while his value is this low anyway. But I don't know. But I want to move on to Doc because Simmons catching the heat. Meta. Doc has one championship to his name. I love Doc Rivers. I loved him when he was the point guard on the Knicks, right? Love Doc Rivers. Bump into him at the game. He wants to talk to fights a little bit. Like, love Doc Rivers. But his championship came. He had a big three. There was no other big three in the NBA at that time. And since then, so you're supposed to win a championship. He did it. He did it. Like, no taking credit. You're supposed to do that. At least one. And he got one. And then since then, lots of collapses in the playoffs. Goes to rotation 10 deep in a game 7. You know what I mean? Like, bad, no adjustments or bad adjustments. Even the ATOs are not working. They're having a problem with everything. And yet Simmons is almost absorbing some of the heat that should be going to Doc. What do you say to that?
You got that's a, you got a point because it takes two to tango, you know, 12 on a team with a coach. So maybe it's not all Simmons because Simmons is getting a lot of heat. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you always see in situations where a player thrives under a different coach. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm not saying that's the case here, but, you know, he is the point guard. Doc is the coach, you know. So, you know, maybe the two don't mix. I don't really know. But, I mean, Doc, he does have a history with his teams of, you know, kind of giving up leads and different things like that. I don't really know the reason. I don't want to really get into like bashing Doc Rivers, but
I don't either, Meta. But it's my job, kinda. You know, like I kind of gotta do it if I see. Yep.
No, dude, not me.
Yeah, right. You're not getting paid to bash Doc Rivers. Yeah, right. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm trying to get me a coaching job. I'm not bashing anybody, but you know, but I think, like, with Doc, you know, he had a long coaching career, head coaching career. I mean, one of the longest we've ever seen, right, with head coaches, job after job after job. You know, so, you know, maybe, you know, maybe he got a little bit tired. I think he's a, you know, he's well-respected, been a president and a coach at the same time. I mean, I think you would probably have to hear more from him if he even wanted to go that deep. But I can't really dig in to his, you know, the lapses that everyone has been talking about on Instagram and on social media, because when Doc is coaching, I'm not really looking at, you know, the leads that he's giving up in a series or a game. Maybe I'll look more into it and just, you know, but, you know, I think, you know, it's not easy to win. And, you know, I'm hearing a lot of different mixed stories about Doc. Mm-hmm. Like, some players love playing for him because I heard his practices is easy and stuff, different things like that. Mm-hmm. So yeah, but yeah, I know I don't want to really want to get into anything and say something, say the wrong.
No, I hear you, Meta. But you know, some like it, just because you were once a great coach or once a great player doesn't mean you're always going to be a great coach or a great player. You got to earn that every day. You got to re-earn it every day. You know, so some dudes are past their prime, even as a coach.
Well, you know, as a coach, like even right now, I'm trying to get a head coaching job, right? And some people are saying like it's impossible, like how. Well, and I tell people, like, how is it impossible for me to learn the triangle in 1 year of Phil Jackson offense, which Hall of Famers didn't even learn? You know, people couldn't even put the concept together. I learned it in 1 year. And, you know, I think head coaching is ultimate privilege. You know what I'm saying? And and Doc did a great job at it for years. And, you know, obviously there's more coaches coming up. People would say I don't have experience, but that's not true. I coach the G League. I coach a lot. I'm coaching now. You know what I'm saying? And I think, you know, coaching is not easy. You win, you lose, and teams make decisions. And, you know, I wish nothing but the best for Doc and, you know, everybody else who's trying to, you know, get head coaching jobs. Yeah. It's not easy.
All right. I'm not asking you to badmouth anyone, okay, Meta. I'm just curious about your opinion about it, because to me, I'm sitting there going, everyone's talking about Ben Simmons, but Doc, I'll tell you someone else other than Ben and Doc, they're taking the heat off Tobias Harris. $140 million, and when they need you most, where'd you go?
Listen, okay. That's, so I get what you're saying. So where would you rank Tobias Harris, Max, in terms of his greatness? Is he a big? Is he a top three player?
No.
You know, on a team, is he a part of a big three? Is he a big four? Is he a big five? Is he a sixth man? Is he a seventh man? Well, I'm interested to know from you.
This is what I would say. Once upon a time, before he got his big money, him, Jay Crowder, like they were on my all underrated, like just grab this dude, he can play type team. But then when he got some burn, his numbers started looking better than he really was. He's one of these dudes. By the way, on offense, sometimes you were like this too. There are some dudes who think they shoot a little better than they actually shoot, right? And you got to take them back just a little. But the difference between him and you is sometimes you could get carried away as a player when you were young shooting. But when the chips were on the line, I was like, nah, Ron Artest going to be okay with the chips on the line.
No, for sure. I mean, if you look at every time I was in the playoffs, I was the go-to guy, with the exception of playing with Kobe. You know, even when I was with Amin, you look at the series with my brother Yao and the Lakers, the ball was going through me. And, you know, so it's different.
Man, the ball was going through you in game seven with Kobe on the floor.
I'm just saying it's different. You can't really, as I'm saying, you can't. A lot of people make a mistake and compare me. I'm not trying to say I'm better than anyone. Mm-hmm. Like, no disrespect to my brother Tobias. I'm just saying sometimes I get compared to people that I personally feel I shouldn't be compared to. Only because, you know, when you look at every team I was on from Indiana, you had Reggie and Jermaine, and ball was going through me a lot. Sacramento, Houston, we had T-Mac and Yao. You know, I was definitely a focal point. But I'm just saying, like, with Tobias, I feel like his $140 million is well-deserved because the players are getting paid so much money now, and I love that. But you can't compare his $140 million to, like, Latrell's primed $8 million a year, whatever the case may be, right? Because the players that are the fifth option, the sixth option, they're getting $100 million.
Okay, I hear.
$200 million.
Meta, I get with inflation, but I'm pointing out some dudes have the heart for the big moment. You were one of those guys who had the heart for the big moment,
sure.
Right? Not everyone is built that way. I want to ask you about the Nets. Now, I thought if they would have been healthy, look, just KD and Kyrie, with no one else, were destroying Milwaukee, let alone if they also had Harden. Then Kyrie goes down. Harden's obviously not himself. He's trying his best, but he's not doing much. He can't hit a shot, and he's slowing them up in transition, and Steve Nash ain't coaching much. He's just like, here, KD, take us there. And they get eliminated in seven games. KD played his butt off in this series. Did he do enough to take the mantle from LeBron as best player in the game?
I love KD. I always tell people I was so lucky to catch him in 2009 or 2010 when he was still raw. But LeBron is probably – this year he was the best player in the world. Mm-hmm. He hurt himself, and when he hurt himself, he wasn't the best player in the world. When he comes back next year, you know, I think LeBron will still be the best player in the world next year. KD's a hell of a player, Hall of Famer, and all that stuff. You know what I'm saying? But LeBron is just different, and they play different. LeBron is more of a guy. LeBron is he plays chess. And I think KD took a little piece of that. Go on a team where you can win. Construct a team where you can win, because that's what you're going to ultimately be judged on. And KD got two rings now.
Yep.
So he's there. He's almost there. He's almost there. He's almost there.
They're telling me I got to wrap up in a minute, but in a way, he proved more to me in this loss than he did in both championships with Golden State. He joined a 73-win team. They added a superstar, and they didn't take away much. Of course they're going to win. That doesn't tell me anything. I already know you're good. I need to know if you're great in the moment of truth. He showed greatness in this series, I thought, that he didn't have a chance to show when his – Meta, okay, from New York. Meta known as a tough guy, right? Ron Artest. Something's going to go down, right? Who's going to stay with me, right? Well, when you have 10 dudes with you, then everyone's brave. But what if it's only one or two dudes with you, right? Now who has their chest out? KD had his chest out, to me, for the first time in a different kind of way when it was really him by himself. When it was the first time it was like him against the world, and he played like MJ or LeBron or one of these super duper stars with the chips on the line and proved more to me in the loss. I'm going to give you last word. Then we got to pay some bills.
Absolutely. I just think when LeBron took that Cleveland team to the championship, I think he even had a – I think an old lady was on that team, like a grandma. I think she was like 90, dressed. LeBron takes – you can't – it's different. And I think KD is amazing, but LeBron goes to the finals.
Right?
So there's no disrespect against KD. I really don't want to – I know KD don't like people talking about him, but LeBron takes teams to the finals. So I can't give KD that edge.
Okay, I hear you. Listen, I can't argue against that. If LeBron is healthy, he's playing in the finals. As simple as that. If he's healthy, he's in the finals. The great Meta Santiford Artest. Wait, hold on. Meta, what am I calling you now?
Well, my wife, I took my wife's last name when we got married, so it changed from World Peace. Her last name is Sandiford.
Sandiford.
And then so I took her name. And
Artest.
Yeah, Sandiford, yeah.
Meta Sandiford. Absolutely. Artest this week, ladies and gentlemen. Looking for a head coaching job. Boy, I'd be crazy enough to hire him as a head coach, too. I got to see that. I got to see Meta run a team.
Crazy enough.
I'll tell you what. A Meta team ain't going out soft. That's for sure. The great Meta World Peace. Meta Sandiford Artest, ladies and gentlemen. Join me on the Goodyear Hotline. Always great to hear from my dude. Helping you discover the road ahead. Goodyear, more driven. About to see major adjustment in Major League Baseball? No doubts next. It's time for some straight talk. We've all been there. You have some real work to do, but the Wi-Fi where you're working isn't going to cut it. It's like leaving the winning runner stranded on third base. It's not good. Well, you can be your own hotspot with Straight Talk's unlimited wireless, ultimate unlimited wireless plan. Sorry, ultimate unlimited plan. I just threw a wireless in. Get 10 gigs of hotspot data for just $55 a month, all on America's largest, most dependable network, Straight Talk Wireless, no contract, no compromise. Compatible device required. See straighttalk.com, no doubt next.
GJNZ and the NBA playoffs.
It's a level that CP3 can take you to because he makes everybody else around him better. The ball doesn't just stick to his hands. He puts you in positions to succeed.
Breaking it down until a champion is crowned. Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin. Tomorrow starting at 6 Eastern on ESPN Radio and on ESPN2. The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
The Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. Hit me at 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. No Doubt is brought to you by My Computer Career, training for a better life. I'm going to get right down to it.
We got you covered.
Let me tell you what I think it means.
No Doubt.
All right, Raj, what do we have?
Hey, man, here in L.A., Sean McVay says Matt Stafford is even better than advertised.
Yeah.
So, Max, with the upgrade at quarterback, the Rams are NFC contenders.
Not only are they NFC contenders, but this is the most – might be the most fascinating team in the NFL this season. So much is on it. Like, Matthew Stafford's entire career is going to be reexamined one way or another, depending on how the Rams do. Either it's like, no, he never really could win. He's just not good, right? Like, he looks good, but it's empty calories. Or it's going to be, damn, it really was Detroit holding him back this whole time. Because the Rams are loaded. And when you hear McVay say that, of course, he's going to try and pump up his guy. But if it's true, look out for L.A. What else? So the answer is no doubt.
No doubt.
Okay. Wait until everyone hit that button. Check it out. Joe Harris, the one you were so high on Joe Harris a couple weeks ago. His disappearing act was the real reason your Nets lost.
No, Joe Harris did not shoot it well at all. At all. He's like one of the best shooters in the league, turned into one of the worst shooters in the league, and that didn't help. And had he shot it well, then they would have won. That's true. But on the list of reasons why they didn't win, Joe Harris going cold was not like number one. Number one was injury. Period. Period. That's it. Number two was Steve Nash. Like, Nash did not really... I didn't see what Nash really did. What did Nash do as coach when like you don't have James Harden to run your D'Antoni offense anymore? When it's just, hey, KD, take us there. Here's the ball. You got a coach? So, nah, son, I wouldn't put Joe Harris as the number one reason.
Okay. Hey, Max, you expect to see major adjustments in the major leagues now that the umps will be checking pictures for that sticky stuff.
No doubt. Don't tell me. Like, spin rate, of course, is going to
affect. Yeah.
All you have to know is, at the very least, the pitchers believe it helps them, or they wouldn't be using it. And unlike, you know, pine tar on the grip for the bat or corked bats, it was unclear whether or not they actually helped. You know, baseball is a superstitious sport because so much feels out of your control. That you know, people get into slumps. They're not even exactly sure why. Some tiny mechanical issue, you know, could be the difference. Not like just football. Try harder. Usually you do better. So at the very least, pitchers believe that it helps them. But we can measure the spin rate increase significantly with the sticky stuff. You take it away, it's going to decrease. Spin rate helps pitchers. In fact, demonstrably, it's going to hurt them. So if the, what was the question? We're going to see things change? No doubt.
Yeah. Hopefully change for the better. We get above that 220 batting average they have.
Yeah.
Hey, let me know if you're on board with this, man. Laker fans are convinced the team is trading for Russell Westbrook after LeBron James and Anthony Davis both follow Nina Westbrook on Instagram. You following all that? You got me.
Well, what's the question? Are the Lakers fans convinced?
Are you on board with it? Are you on board with them? Like there's little hints,
Nah, son. And the reason is, I'd like it to be true. Ah. What do you give up to get Russell Westbrook exactly? Obviously, it must start with Dennis Schroeder. You give him a big contract. You think they really are dying for Dennis Schroeder and Bradley Beal in Washington? That's going to be their ticket. THT. What else are you giving up to get Russell freaking Westbrook? And by the way, the Lakers need more shooting. It's not like Westbrook's the perfect match, but you got LeBron, Westbrook, and AD. You'll figure it out. I get it. I just don't see how the Lakers acquire him. Max Kellerman Show, presented by Progressive Insurance. Coming up, did Giannis finally take the next step? The Yankees.
This could be one, two, on the first. It's a triple play. They've done it again. Three times a charm. And the Yankees win 2-1.
So that's credit to WPIX. When I was a kid, Raj, WPIX had all the Yankees games. Picks. Back in the day, they had songs for that at the local New York station. Oh, it was great. Turn on WPIX in the morning, Raj, and on a Sunday, you get the Three Stooges and then an Abbott and Costello movie and then the Yankees. That's right. At any rate, I was going to read the rest of that, but okay, there we go. The Yankees win the game on a triple play. Very rare. I want to say it was 1988, opening day, that the Yankees were involved in a triple play. I don't remember if they turned it with Rafael Santana at shortstop or if they hit into it. I think maybe they turned a triple play in like an 8-0 win. That's a big thing to end a game on a triple play. This MLB weekend recap is brought to you by Credit Karma. Visit creditkarma.com/winmoney to open your free account and start winning instant karma. Credit Karma money. Progress starts here. Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
The Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio, ESPN Plus, 888-SAY-ESPN, 729-3776.
You heard First Take?
At least it's good to hear your voice finally, because I know on First Take, I only hear you on the intro and outro.
Now hear Max's Last Take.
So, first of all, Giannis Antetokounmpo, the Greek freak. He finally does it. He gets to a conference finals. Has anything changed? No, he's still a big. Did he impose himself more in the game? I guess, kind of. I don't know. That's really, let me just tell you what happened. I've been saying all along, a great big, and Giannis is really a big dressed up as a wing. A great big needs a guy on his level to be his crime partner if he wants to win a championship. Penny Hardaway was amazing. He was not on Shaq's level. Shaq didn't get any with Penny. Kareem got 6 chips. He got 1 with Oscar Robertson, 5 with Magic Johnson. Those dudes were on his level. Whoever you think was better, they're on that Kareem, like, all-time great level. Shaq got 4. 3 with a prime Kobe, 1 with a prime D-Wade, who had the greatest finals since a prime Jordan, or since Michael Jordan that year, right? That's what it takes. Giannis don't have those guys, but when KD doesn't have Kyrie, or really Harden, all of a sudden, Middleton is the next best player in the series. KD 1, Giannis 2, Middleton 3. Now suddenly, Giannis has help that KD doesn't have. Now it's a different story. And against an Atlanta team who can shoot. But other than Trae Young, if you consider Trae Young an emerging superstar, fine. It's not like Trae Young is a top five MVP candidate so far in his career. Giannis is every year. They have good chances against the Hawks. It's really simple. Giannis is a great big. He needs help. The help the Milwaukee Bucks got him in Jrue Holiday and Chris Middleton is not enough against real big threes or real super teams. But because injury has taken the super team out this year, the Lakers, you know, two MVPs and LeBron and AD level players, the Warriors before the season even started, the Nets during the playoffs, those that Chris Paul's not, you know, missed a couple, he's going to miss a couple games with Phoenix. Kawhi might not be playing anymore. The Clippers. In that world, oh, Giannis can win a chip. It's possible. 888-SAY-ESPN, 729-3776. By the way, did you see where the Supreme Court sided with former athletes in the NCAA compensation case? Unanimously, the NCAA and a lower court got really a win against athletes who brought this case against them. And they weren't satisfied. It wasn't a clean enough win for them. So they figured, we're going to appeal it to the Supreme Court. Because the Supreme Court has been stacked with conservatives, right? They stole a bunch of seats on the Supreme Court. Now we're going to win because conservatives mean they like the status quo. They're looking backwards. They want to keep things the way they are. And progressives want to change things. Well, good. The conservative court's going to side with us. Actually, the Supreme Court decided unanimously against the NCAA and for the athletes. Unanimously. I mean, and by the way, Kavanaugh wrote the decision. So they decided that the NCAA can't enforce rules limiting education-related benefits that colleges offer to student-athletes. So that determines like whether schools decide to offer athletes tens of thousands of dollars in those benefits for things like tutoring, study abroad programs, graduate scholarships. So the case doesn't decide whether students can be paid salaries. So it doesn't address directly the name, image, likeness, all that kind of stuff. The NCAA remains committed to supporting NIL benefits for student athletes, says NCAA President Mark Emmert in a statement. Additionally, we remain committed to working with Congress to chart a path forward, which is a point the Supreme Court expressly stated in its ruling. By the way, John Oliver on his HBO show, and it's on social media, you can find it online, and I retweeted it today. Max_Kellerman. Isn't that my handle on Twitter? Who the hell knows anymore? Hold on a second. Let me see. I'll tell you right now what my handle on Twitter is. Oh, no, it's just Matt. Oh, I got just Max Kellerman now. Good. At Max Kellerman on Twitter. I retweeted the Oliver sketch. But it's hilarious. And real. And you have all these interviews with Mark Emmert just like just nonsense, just talking nonsense. The NCAA is basically robbing kids of money that really should belong to them. So there you have it. Charting a path forward, Congress. Charting a path forward. Like, we just want to make sure that we don't strangle the goose that laid the golden egg. I mean, and by the way, the NCAA strategy through all this and the college president through all this has just been like, you know, eventually we're going to have to give it up. Is this gravy train can't last forever, but let's wait till the very last second before we give it up because we'll make billions in the meantime, you know, or in terms of revenue at least. Key in Virginia, you're on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.
Hey, Max, how you doing today, man?
Go ahead, Key.
Hey, I listened to you you and Stephen A. on First Take probably like every single day, but just want to get to the Bucks. I have no idea why you think the Milwaukee Bucks is going to win the championship.
Who said I think they're going to win? I'm saying they could win. They couldn't win. In a world where Kawhi Leonard's healthy, the Bucks aren't going to win. in a world, you know, like, and the Phoenix Suns, if they come out and Chris Paul and everybody's healthy and they're playing, the Bucks probably ain't going to win. But they have a chance. They have a chance because Giannis, you know, the Phoenix Suns are a really good team. They got Chris Paul and Devin Booker and Ayton, right? But that's not quite KD, James Harden, and Kyrie where, you know, Giannis would have no chance. Giannis with Middleton and Drew Holiday at least has a shot against those guys. Well, after a week off, a glorious vacation, I'm back. Just shook the rust off today, Raj. Wait till tomorrow's show. That's going to be the show.
Oh, yeah. That's You're all it. Warmed up and ready to go.
That's right. Now I'm ready to go. I tricked everyone into listening to me today, but tomorrow's going to be the show. Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.